Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your always on timeness, if there is such a phrase, but that's who you are. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the honor to share in your work that you've given us on earth. And all we want to do is glorify your name. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to walk with you, how to talk with you, how to be led by you in all that we do. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Can somebody grab that bag for me? That white bag? Now, last week I said I was going to do an object lesson. And I couldn't figure out what to use. So since I got a lot of ties, I said, well, I'll use my tie collection. And in these ties, these are all ties made out of the same material, which is silk. And let me lay them across here real quick. And as you look at these ties, I'm going to ask you a question. And I'm going to tell you it's a trick question. Which tie is the best? Huh? They're all the same. But best is a term of preference. And unfortunately, people think somebody's better, but that's only their preference. And last week we talked about renewing your mind. And part of being renewed is to understand that, and I know ties are not people, but it's the same thing. We're all made from the same material. We're all made in the same image. So there is no better person than the other. Amen? And just like I might say, well, I like this tie. This tie is the best. No, this is your preference, but this is not the best tie. Amen? So preferences are things that people need to get over. We have a lot of preferences. Amen? We have so many preferences that we argue over our preferences. Some people say, well, I don't eat bacon. Pig bacon. I eat turkey bacon, and that's better. I know Pastor Woodley should have said amen, because he's heard that argument over and over. But it's a preference. It's not a better, it's a preference. Amen? And part of the things that God wants us to learn to do is to understand the difference between what is preferred and what is right. Because a lot of people have a lot of preferences, and they've mixed in that the things that they think are right based on their preference. And so as we seek to be led by and walk in the Spirit, we have to learn to cast our preferences aside. Jesus' great preference was, Father, if this cup can pass from me, take it. That was his preference. Amen? Are you guys with me here? But he said, but nevertheless, what happens? Not my will, or another way of saying, not my preference, but your preference or will be done. See, we've gotten so used to being preferred that we don't know the difference between what the scriptures teach us right and wrong and what we prefer to do or not do. Amen? So we have to be careful that as we walk in the Spirit, that we cast our preferences aside and allow God to change us in the area of preference. Amen? Now, some preferences are not bad, per se, but everything we do as a believer has to be submitted to the will of God. Amen? God may tell you something beyond your preference, and you can't tell God, well, I don't want to do that. Let me back up. You could tell him that. But like Jonah, he might have to bring a big fish to change your mind. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he decided to go the other direction. But God changed his preference to line it up with what God wanted. Amen? And that's what it is about. That's what it takes to walk in the Spirit. So we landed on changing or renewing our minds. So the thing we want to touch today is walking in the Spirit requires us, everybody say requires us, to bring our tongues under control. And everybody said, amen. Well, what does it mean to bring your tongue under control? That means you don't say things you ought not to say. And let's go through a few scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians. And let's all be honest. Let's all be honest. Everybody say, let's all be honest. All of us say something in our with our mouths we regret seconds after it comes out. It's a good thing you guys got masks on because I can't see your face. But let's go to three scriptures on this subject. Let's go first to Ephesians 4:25 through 31. And it says, therefore, the first thing he says in this part of this, he says, put away lying. Everybody say, no more lying. That's a challenge. And I'm not saying it's a challenge because it's hard to stop lying. It's because we are sometimes afraid. Lying is a result of being afraid. Let's just be honest. You lie because you think something's going to happen to you. Or some people say, well, it might happen to somebody else, so they'll tell a lie. The Bible doesn't qualify lying. It just says, don't do it. Amen? There's no white lie, there's no black lie, they're just lies. And the scripture says all liars will have their place where? In the lake that burns with fire. So you don't want to go there because you can't stop lying. So the Bible tells us to put away lying. Everybody say, put it away. And it says, next verse is, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. All right? And then it goes on to say, move down to verse 31. No, I'm sorry. Go to 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. What does corrupt mean? Well, that's a fancy way of saying curse. Don't let any corrupt words come out of your mouth. But he goes on to say, what is good for and necessary for edification, that you may impart grace to the hearers. So he says, don't let corrupt words come out. That doesn't only mean cursing. That means belittling, tearing people down, all the things that we can do with our tongues. But he says, but use your mouth or your tongues to bring edification. What's edification? Everybody knows what an edifice is, right? What's an edifice? Speak up. It's a building. So edification means you are building people up. You are encouraging people. And remember the old saying that you used to hear when you were a kid? If you can't say anything good, say it all together. Don't do what? Don't say nothing at all. I think it was on a rap song, one of Marquise's old rap songs. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. And that's probably okay, because most of the time, sometimes you have to say hard things, but don't say it with a spear in your hand or in your tongue, so to speak. Meaning that we have to correct people, but we don't want to destroy them. Amen? And then in the last part, 31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So here in three parts of this passage, it tells you what to do, what not to do with your tongue. Then it goes on. Let's go to, I think it's Colossians is the next one. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3, 8 through 12. We know James is the one that brings all this, talking about controlling your tongues. But Colossians 3, 8 through 12 says this, but you yourselves are to put off all these things, these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, those are words, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. And so, he said the same thing that Ephesians is saying, put away these things. Stop it, because the new man is now, you're not the old person that you used to be. So many of us want to carry the old man into the new man lifestyle. Well, I was born that way, but you've been reborn. We were all born that way. You know, I'm really getting kind of, and I have to be sweet here, I'm getting kind of tired of people saying, well, this is the way I was born. That's why you need to be born again. Because being born that way means you were born into sin. And sin has now taken over your nature. So in order to be a changed person, you have to be born again, or you have to become a new creation. Whatever phraseology you want to use, you have to be transformed. You can't change your behavior if you're not transformed. And so when people say, well, I was born like this, and say, thank God Jesus came to give you a new birth, and you don't have to live, you don't have to die like this. Amen? You can live a new way. But one of the ways that we need to change is the things we say. Now, we always have to be careful, because even sometimes we don't even have to say things to put somebody down. All parents know the look. When your kids do something, you don't have to say a word. They know exactly what you mean. All you have to do, I mean, I haven't said a word, but you all know what I'm saying, right? And if we could do that to people. If we say, you know, you go to some stores, if somebody look at you like that, and you're like, whoa, what did I do? You know? Keep the mask on. Well, I got the whole mask. I mean, they can only see my eyes, so they don't know what I'm up to, right? I was the first time I put that on, I said, rob a bank, man. I just don't have a gun, but I'm not going to rob. That's why. Anyway, let me not get sidetracked. So as we talk, we have to be careful not to destroy with our words. Now, let me say something about words, because a lot of times we give words power. Words do have power. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. But even though someone says bad words about me, I don't have to allow those words to stick to me. Amen? I don't have to be what they say I'm gonna be or I am, right? I don't have to. I have a choice. And this is what we need to learn. In addition to learning how to talk to people, we also need to learn that we can reflect or deflect the words that have been spoken over our lives that are not edifying and not building up. Amen? Remember the other old saying, sticks and stones, huh? Come on, old folk, no, you all know these things. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, why, you might, something, and now people say, no, that's not true. No, it is true, because word, you have a choice to allow the words to hurt you. You can choose to agree with the words, or you can say, that's not me, I reject those words. But the only way you're going to reject those words if you know that you have a bigger God in you than the things that are out in the world. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if you know who you are in Christ, those words just deflect. It's like, as they used to say, water off a duck's back. It just rolls away. I don't have to be all that people call me. I'm not a nigger. I hate to say that. Yeah, that woke up some people. I'm not. Amen? I'm not. And that word meant that you were shiftless and lazy. That's what the phrase meant, or the word meant. I'm none of those things. So I don't call people that, and I don't refer to myself as one. Are you with me here? Let me tell on myself. When I was Malik and Elton's age, I used to call myself that. I used to call other people that. Until I realized that, why would I be calling myself something that if some white person called me that, it would be a fight. So if I'm going to fight for somebody to call me that, why would I go around calling everybody else that and think it's okay? Words have power. But you don't have to let them have power over you, unless it's the word of God. Amen? God's words are the most powerful on the face of the earth. His word, he spoke, and the universe was transformed, right? He created the world by the words that he spoke. But guess what? If you don't want the word of God to change you, you don't have to let it change you. That's why we have people that are not born again. They have not allowed the word to change them, even though the word has the power to change them. Are you with me here?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So, it's a choice you make whether you're going to allow words to affect you. Now, because of our fallen nature, we tend to fall into the bad. When somebody says something bad about us, we take it and we run with it. Oh, you ain't going to be nothing but this. You ain't going to be nothing but that. You ain't going to be this, that, and the other. You'll never finish school. You'll never do that. And we run with that. Why don't we just run with the other side of it? And say, oh, okay, she says that. I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to just do the other thing. Oh, if they say that about me, I'm going to just not agree with that. I'm going to just do something else. We have the power, as we walk in the Spirit, to resist the enemy's information and his schemes. The Bible says the devil we're not ignorant of the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Everybody remember Wile E. Coyote, the cartoon? He was wily because he had a scheme for everything. He had his Acme briefcase, and he's pulling out schemes to catch the Roadrunner. That's what the devil does. He's got a scheme bag, and if that scheme doesn't work, he's got another one for you. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And so one of his devices is to beat you down with his words. His words are actually his thought. He puts thoughts into your mind. He wants you to agree with his thoughts. That's how he got Eve. He made a suggestion and she agreed with it instead of agreeing with what God said. There's an example. She chose the wrong instead of the right. So we have to be careful about the things we say, but also we have to remember that God is the one that forms our character, our nature. The Bible says we are being made or created or being made new and put and placed into the image of Christ right now. That's what the church is supposed to be becoming, the image of Christ. Say, I am becoming like Christ. Now you have to believe that. You have to believe that and start acting as if Christ would act. What did Jesus do? We got a bracelet, but how many really live it? WWJD. But are we really, really doing it? All right, I'm going to move on. So we have to get our tongue under control. The Bible says a man can't tame his tongue. So that means only God can do that. So you have to pray, God, help me to control my tongue. Help me not to say things that I would want to say when people push the button that you know they push. Because guess what? They're going to push it. Amen? Somebody's going to push a button to make you upset. And most likely it's in your household. Because the people out there, they don't know the button to push, and you ain't going to see them tomorrow anyway, so you don't really care what they say, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, somebody can say something about me. I remember somebody started honking, and I just waved at them and smiled as I drove by, because I'm never going to see this person again. Why should I flip them off and do all the crazy things that you do when you do that? You just don't. But when your people, everybody say, my people, push that button, oh, the fight's on. The fight is on. You know, bedrooms become empty, you know, because one person is sleeping on the couch. Families separate because they can't talk to one another. They can't go to Thanksgiving because they haven't talked to Junior in 20 years because they pushed the button, and the button is still going off. We got to make sure we don't allow them to push that button, that we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen? Next, and while walking in the spirit, we have to do the right things in the right way. A lot of people always talk about doing right, but you have to do the right thing in the right way. There is a heart to doing right. See, the world, I remember when I was before I became a Christian, if I did something good, like open the door for somebody or do something like that, I would say, well, I did my good deed for the day. That's not doing the right thing for the right reason. You should just want to open the door for somebody because they need the door opened, or that you're just being polite and you're opening the door, not to get you brownie points with God. You say, God, look at all the doors I've opened. That's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. I mean, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 to illustrate this. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. I think Pastor Marquise read this yesterday, or somebody, yeah. To be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So they did the good deed, but they were doing it from the wrong reason. Now, if the reference to they sounded a trumpet, if you go back to the Old Testament, when they brought offerings to the temple, or at that time the tabernacle, they sounded trumpets while they were giving, or while the offering was being offered. That's the reference that he's making. And that was permitted, but there sounds like they're sounding a trumpet for everything they're doing. It's like, oh, everybody look, I'm about to give a check for 10,000. Everybody, 10,000, Harold is about to give $10,000. Everybody, come on, give Harold a hand. No, don't clap. But that's what they're talking about. That's the kind of stuff. It's great to give $10,000, but everybody doesn't need to know. Amen? And the left hand, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Obviously, that's a metaphor. No, you can't. That's not possible. He's talking about don't tell everybody your business, is what he's trying to say. All the Jacksons should have said amen. Because they majored on not don't let nobody know what you're doing. And I learned as I've lived with one former Jackson that is a wise way to live sometimes, because everybody doesn't rejoice with what you have to rejoice with. Amen. Have you ever come to tell somebody your good news and they threw cold water all over it? It's like, man, guess what happened, man? This happened, and they say, oh, really? Wow, I wish that happened to me. I mean, you know, no sense of, oh, man, that is great. That is wonderful. God is really moving in your life. Maybe they're still saying inside, man, God, are you going to, don't, as that old song says, Savior, don't pass me by. But don't take away from somebody's good thing just because it hasn't happened to you yet. Amen? Because the worse your attitude about somebody else being blessed is, the longer your wait period is going to be. Because obviously you haven't gotten the memo that you need to rejoice with who? Those that rejoice. Amen? You need to be happy when people get... When somebody gets a house, you should be one of the ones jumping up louder because God has blessed them with something they've been praying about. We should not be saying, God, how come I never get that? You never get it with that attitude. You've got to learn to rejoice and be happy and do the right things in the right way. All right, one more time, one more thing, and we'll close this down for today. One of the things I want to say, this is very important, because walking in the Spirit is really the purpose of the body of Christ. We have no other job other than to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. We're not here just to go to heaven. We're not just here to do the works of the Lord. We're here to be led by the Spirit of God so God can use us in the way that He chooses to use us. We have to stop only looking for God to send us a vision so that we can do something that we really love and do and enjoy. The reality is, once God gives you a vision of what He tells you to do, you're going to have to redirect your attitude, because you're not going to want to do what He says you want to do, or what He wants you to do always. Not always. Sometimes it is. I mean, if He made me king, I would want to be the king. Until I became the king, then I realized I wouldn't want to be the king, because then you got all the problems of the king, right? It sounds wonderful to be the king, but then you have everybody's weight on your shoulder and says, Lord, I don't want to be the king anymore. I mean, there's a few British monarchs that says, nope, I'm checking out. I don't want to be in line for the throne. I'm done with that. Count me out. But for the most part, in order to do the works that God wants us to do, He's going to have to change our hearts. When He called me to be a pastor, my first response was, Lord, I don't need to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. I'm doing just fine as a believer in the congregation. I don't want to be the leader of anything. I'm doing fine leading groups or leading Bible studies or that. That's all. But you know what? You know what? He didn't have any. He could care less what I wanted. He just kept talking to me. Well, you're gonna do it. And you're gonna do it when I tell you you're gonna do it. I said, but Lord, I don't need that. I'm glad you told me. Now let's move on now. Because I'm not really interested in. And see, when God is your king, he can tell you what to do, and you're going to have to be happy about it. Amen? That's where we have to get as a church. When God tells you to do something that is not in line, well, Lord, that's not my call. That's not my avenue. That's not my strong point. That's not my, what do they call it? What's a fancy word? Huh? Forte. Yeah, that's not my forte. He doesn't care what your forte is. I was watching a movie. He says he qualifies the called. He qualifies the called. You may not be qualified. That might not be your forte, but he will make it yours. Just like Moses. I can't talk. I can't do this. And at the end of it, Moses is talking up a storm. Every time you turn around, Moses is talking. And you wonder, what happened to the stammering Moses that was at the beginning? Because God changed him. He was no longer, you know, remember he said Aaron was going to do all the talking. But after a while, Aaron wasn't talking at all. Moses is talking to Pharaoh every time they go in. Did you ever notice that? I mean, this is the guy that said, Lord, I can't talk. And your brother can talk. Lord, I can't do this. Please go get somebody else. No, but God changes you when you let him lead you. He will transform you to what he wants you to be if you let him. Amen? So remember that. The purpose of the church is to be led by his spirit. And as we do that, all these other things will start to take place in our lives. Amen? All right, we're done for today.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.